Another fundamental change created by the Supreme Court relates to subject matter eligibility, the Alice decision. At your next session, you'll hear more about 35 U.S.C. Section 101 and the latest on subject matter eligibility. But I want to mention that the USPTO has just launched a deferred subject matter eligibility pilot program. We've structured this program in such a way as to notify applicants of an initial rejection based on subject matter eligibility. We then ask if the applicant wishes to continue prosecution on the other statutory rejections, 112, 102, 103, et cetera, to see if any of the responses and amendments resolve the 101 issue. We just started the program last month, and 700 examiners are participating across all of our technology centers with the program. Office actions have gone out, and we are waiting for responses to come back to see how many people are going to defer their responses to the 101 rejections. The bottom line here is that we didn't want to make the deferral automatic. We wanted to give the applicant the option to defer her or his response to any 101 rejection. You can imagine the applicant decides to defer in response to the other rejections. Months go by and the 101 rejection wasn't negated by the response and or amendments. And the applicant now has to spend more time and money filing a second response and or amendment, followed by the next office action or an allowance. So the applicant has the choice. That's what's key here. She or he can not respond to the 101 rejection or choose to respond to all the rejections at the same time, including the 101 rejection. In other exciting news, PTAP is starting a new pro bono program, offering free legal services to under-resourced inventors in ex parte patent cases. Initially, this program will be available to individual inventors. As we scale up, PTAP envisions broadening it out to inventor groups. And small companies. And we gain experience and build a program. As we gain experience and build a program, it will likely expand to all AIA trial proceedings. We're currently working with the PTAP Bar Association in an effort to recruit the pro bono lawyers. And we expect to make formal announcements when the PTAP Bar holds its annual meeting on March 24th. The new PTAP program meshes well with our existing patent pro bono program, which has helped individual inventors craft solid patent applications and assist them through the prosecution for the past 10 years. We recently surveyed participants in 20 of our regional patent pro bono programs. Of those who responded to the survey, 41% self-identified as being female, 30% identified as being Black, and 14% identified as being Hispanic. So this leads nicely into one of our most important initiatives at the USPTO. It is our commitment to substantially increase participation in the innovation economy in connection with women, minorities, and the underserved communities. Too few women and members of disadvantaged groups are engaged in the IP system and the innovation economy. A few years ago, PTO found that women accounted for only 13% of inventors named on US patents. Another study found that if we could harness the creative talent of all Americans, we could quadruple the rate of innovation and add up to 4.4% to the per capita GDP. This has become a pressing issue for the country as we face intense global competition. It is also imperative that we have far more people engaged in the innovation economy. These are good jobs and rewarding careers. Innovation generates economic growth that helps everyone in every community in the country. Our own Office of the Chief Economist this week is scheduled to publish a report on the economic impacts of intellectual property on the U.S. economy, and the numbers are striking. For those industries that have a high number of patents, trademarks, and copyrights, output, employment, and wages are remarkably strong. Average weekly earnings for those employed in IP-intensive industries are 60% higher than weekly earnings for workers in other countries. Workers in IP-intensive industries make $1,517 per week on average, compared to $947 per week for those in non-IP-intensive industries. IP industries account for $7.8 trillion, or 41% of the U.S. GDP in 2019. Directly, our innovation-intensive industries employ 47.2 million Americans and indirectly employ another 15.5 million. They account for 44% of all jobs in the United States. These industries need millions of additional workers. The Bureau of Labor Statistics last week reported that there are currently 11.3 million job openings in the United States, including more than 2 million openings in professional and business services, 855,000 in the manufacturing sector, and 540,000 in the financial sector. To address these shortfalls and to attract more people into the innovation economy, we have created the Council for Inclusive Innovation, better known as CI Squared. Secretary of Commerce Gina Raimondo has agreed to chair the council that is comprised of representatives from industry, government, academia, trade associations, individual inventors, and public interest groups. The full council met at the end of January, and it is in its final stages of drafting the National Innovation Strategy. Once it's released in the coming months, we will embark on a nationwide campaign aimed at engaging directly with schools, community colleges, and inventor groups. We will need all of your help as we broaden participation in IP. And as we highlight the wonders of invention, entrepreneurship, and the importance of manufacturing those new innovative products in the United States.